The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Do you ever feel like Job? Is not man's life on earth a drudgery? Man is a slave who longs for the shade. If you ask me in the morning, that's what I'm like. In fact, you may hear me in the shower singing, "Nobody knows the troubles I've seen, and nobody cares." Well, that's Job. That shouldn't be us. But that was Job. And of course, when the book of Job was written, that was hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was born. So they didn't have the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They didn't know that there was not a good reason to be fearful, anxious, look at life as a drudgery, but rather they could be more like Paul. And Paul is quite a contrast to Job. So in the reading from Paul, Paul joyfully says that he has chosen to be a slave for the sake of the gospel. So here we have Job bemoaning the fact that he feels like a slave, and here's Paul rejoicing that he is all things to all people. He's willing to be a slave to the gospel. He's willing to suffer for the gospel. Now that's quite a contrast, and it happens to come about because Paul knew of Jesus Christ. He knew of the goodness of Jesus Christ. He knew that through Jesus he had been forgiven for all of the sins he committed and shown God's mercy, which was far greater than anything he expected. So Paul was so grateful for this gift of God's love and mercy, that he was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do, to preach the gospel. And of course, we know that Paul left everything behind to go traveling around the Mediterranean in order to preach the gospel. He didn't care what happened to him, and he was persecuted. He was beaten up, left for dead. He was stoned. He was kicked out of cities. He was shipwrecked. Eventually, he was beheaded because he was a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. But for Paul, it was all joy. It was all God's good gift. So he was willing to do anything for Christ. So Paul is not having pity parties. You know, he's not saying, "Oh, poor me. Why, Lord, are you doing this to me after all the good I've done for you?" In fact, he looks upon all the stuff that happens to him, what we would call suffering or the evil stuff. He says, "That's just all part of the journey. And because Christ is leading me through it, it's all wonderful. It's all wonderful." Now, this is the same Paul that said, "In all circumstances, give thanks, because that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In all circumstances, give thanks, because that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Job wouldn't have said that, but Paul did. Paul also said, "Rejoice in the Lord." Always, always rejoice. Again, Job wouldn't have said that, but Paul did because of what he knew, of what he was convinced of in terms of God's love towards him. So we are called to be like Paul, people who read the scriptures, who have been given the revelation of faith. We read about Jesus in the gospel today. He healed the mother-in-law of Peter. He healed and cured other people. He got rid of demons, the devil that was in people. So we know he's got the power over all things, and he's using it for our good. And he didn't stop 2,000 years ago. It continues in our midst. He's always giving us what we need in order to be faithful, so we don't get into a pity party. So like Job, we're not saying, oh, poor me, poor me. But and right now, what are we doing? We're celebrating the most perfect prayer, the most perfect encounter with God, where Jesus is here with us in so many ways, in the readings. That's the voice of Christ that we hear. And of course, ordinary bread and wine are brought forward and become the very flesh and blood of God. So we have it all. We have it all. So there's really no excuse for any of us, to look upon life as a drudgery. But of course, it takes practice. It takes practice to always rejoice and always give thanks. It's not something automatic that we wish for and it happens. And God's not going to make us rejoice. We have to choose to rejoice. We have to choose to be grateful. And the more we do that, the more we say, thank you, Lord, even when we're in a terrible state, when we're in the midst of suffering, where people we love are suffering, when we say, thank you, Lord, when we say, praise the Lord, when we rejoice in God's goodness, it frees us from being inside ourselves so we can get out of ourselves and realize that, what do I have to worry about? Why should I be anxious? Why should I be fearful? God's in control. He knows what I need. He's giving me what I need so that I can be faithful. But if we stay stuck in ourselves, in our own bemoaning of everything, we're not going to see the truth. And we've been given the truth so that, as I say, there's no really good excuse for any of us to be like Job, to question God. If God needed to clarify something for us, he would do that. He's not a trickster God. He doesn't deny us anything that we need. So we have all the explanations we need in order to be faithful disciples and, like Paul, to always rejoice and always give thanks. Now, can you imagine if this coming week, when things don't go quite well for you, people see that instead of going, oh, geez, what's going on? Oh, this is a drudgery. People saw you. Oh, thanks, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. When they saw you rejoicing when things were not going well, when they saw that commitment to the gospel, do you think they might be curious as to why you're doing that and what's that all about? Well, we have the power to do that, to go forth and rejoice in the Lord. And that's a wonderful way of proclaiming the gospel, of evangelizing, to show to other people that there is a truth, and the truth has a name, Jesus, and he has saved us from the power of sin and death once and for all, so that we can always be rejoicing and praising God and thanking God. In fact, St. Augustine puts it this way. He said, look, in heaven, it's all about praising God, because we're going to see the reality face to face. And he says, we got to prepare for that by practicing praising God now. So not just in the good times. That's easy. It's easy to say thank you, God, when things are going well, when we feel good about things. But the rubber hits the road when things are not going well, and we still say thank you. We still say praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I rejoice in you. You who are my foundation, my rock. You who are everything. So even though Job had his troubles, and we know from the end of that story that he got everything back, multiplied many times over, we don't need that kind of reward in this life because we know that God himself is our reward right now. Right now, the fullness of God is with us. And we can look forward in hope to that day when we come face to face with him and share his glory in heaven, where we will see everything very, very clearly. But right now, we have been given enough information, revelation, so that we can go through our lives always thanking God and rejoicing in the goodness of God. So as again, as you go forth this week, when you come into situations that are not to your liking or whatever, think about consciously stopping and saying, "Thank you, Lord. I praise your holy name. I rejoice in you." And let other people know that. Let other people know that, because they will see how the power of God is shining through your lives when you're able to thank God in the bad times, when you're able to praise God when things don't go quite the way you want them to do. And that's, as I say, one way of preaching the gospel, of drawing people's attention to the good news of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. So think about how you're going to practice praising God and thanking God this week. Practice rejoicing in God, especially in those difficult times, because that's going to free us up to be more and more open to the many graces that God wants to give us, so that we can be more and more a people who are always praising God and thanking God.